Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Matthew 15, 21 to 28. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman came out from that region and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, O Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, "Send her away, for she is shouting out after us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. We ask you to come and speak to us and just give this time to you. Help us to pray and worship and to enter into your presence this morning. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this passage is a troubling kind of passage. It's kind of a confusing passage. Whenever I read it in the past, I would think, man, what's up with Jesus? Right? So this is what's happening. So Jesus goes into this district, Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman comes out. And a Canaanite woman is a Gentile, right? She is not an Israelite. But she probably just heard about Jesus, right? Heard that Jesus is this great man of God who can heal her daughter. So she comes out and she says, you know, "Please help me, you know, have mercy on me, heal my daughter." Jesus at first ignores her, and the disciples come to Jesus and says, "Jesus, send that woman away. She's annoying us. You know, she's persistent. She keeps yelling after us." And so Jesus says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I don't know if he's saying it to the woman or to the disciples. Doesn't matter. He says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." As if saying, this woman, I'm not going to bother with her. Right? I don't want to bother with her because she's not from the house of Israel. But she comes, she probably heard that, she comes and bows down this time and says, "Lord, you need to help me." And he answers her this time and says, this is shocking, right? He says, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." What does that mean? The children are is the house of Israel, right? And Jesus is saying, the bread that I have to give, it's for the house of Israel, and it is not good to take it and give it to the dogs. Basically saying, you're a dog, right? He's saying to the woman, you're a Gentile, you're a dog, it's not good for me to take this bread and give it to you. But she says, "I know, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And then Jesus says, "Oh woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish." Right? And the daughter gets healed at once. So I think one thing we need to know is not Jesus is not saying, I don't think Jesus ever comes with the mentality like, I'm not going to help the Gentiles. Like, my thing, my ministry is only for the house of Israel. Because we know from other passages in the Bible that Jesus is the one that all the nations will gather to. And he's the one that's going to bless all the nations. All the Gentiles will come to him. He is the light and the hope of the nations. And if you read this passage, the only reason why he goes to the district of Tyre and Sidon is for that woman, right? He doesn't do anything else there. And then after he heals that daughter, he departs from there and goes along by the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus, there's something else going on, and I have always wondered what was going on. And I think what he's doing is he's trying to teach the disciples something, you know? Because I bet the disciples, when Jesus says, I was sent only for the house of Israel, the disciples are going, that's right. You know? That's why, Jesus, you need to send this woman away. You know, because they were so ethnocentric, like Jewish people. I mean, the Israelites back then, they were so focused on themselves. They thought God, like they thought God was only looking out for them. And they thought the Messiah was only for the people of Israel. So their whole mind, you know, they're not talking to Gentiles and all that stuff. So they think, that's right. You know, Jesus, you're here for the house of Israel. So you need to send this woman away. And I bet when Jesus says to the woman, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. The disciples in the background are like, oh, snap. That was really good, Jesus. That's right. You are only sent, you know, don't take the children's bread, throw it to the dogs. Because that's their mindset, right? And, you know, even after all this happens, when you go to the book of Acts, they're still thinking, no, Jesus is only for the Jews. We can't bring the gospel to the Gentiles. They're still struggling with it. So you can kind of see what Jesus is doing. I feel like he's teaching them a lesson, saying, see, you think that what I'm saying is right and what I'm doing with this woman is the right thing to do. But Jesus knows, right? He knew what the response of the woman will be, right? I just believe he was just trying to teach the disciples a lesson, saying, no, what you're thinking is wrong. I'm not here just for the house of Israel. I'm not here just, you know, I don't consider them to be dogs, people to be avoided. And Jesus heals her at the end, right? Ultimately, in the end, Jesus does bring healing to the woman. And he actually praises the woman, right? He says, oh, your faith is great. You know, oh, woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. So praise Jesus, or praise God, that Jesus isn't only for the Jews, because we would all be screwed, right? If Jesus is only for the Jews, there is no hope for us. But he is not like that. He is the hope of the nations, right? He is the light that's going to draw all men to himself, not just Jewish Christians, but also us, Koreans, Chinese, Indonesians. Yeah? Amen. So that's one thing. That's why I believe this passage is in here. But I just want to talk about the woman's response. I think we can learn something from the woman's response, right? Because it could easily, if it happened to one of us, especially the last one, when Jesus says, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs, I would be offended. I'd be like, what did you say? Are you calling me a dog? You know? And be like, forget this, you know? I'm going to do my own thing. But you see the woman's response, and I just want to talk about three things. I think the first one, she's had a humility, right? She had humility when she came before the Lord. And we've learned in our church that true humility is agreeing with God, right? Which means if God were to come to you and say, you are, what is it? You are something like, you are a king or something. You're the king of the world. Oh, that's right. Jesus comes to one of us and says, you are the king of the world. A humble, truly humble person would say, yes, I am. Right? Whereas a prideful person, a falsely humble person would be like, oh, me, a king? Come on. I'm just a lowly, you know, servant kind of thing. We think that would be humility. But really, true humility is agreeing with God. God says, you are the king of the world. Say, that's right, yes, I am. But on the flip side, God comes to you and says, you are the scum of the earth. A truly humble person says, yes, I am. Right? You just agree with God. A prideful person would be like, what did you say? What do you call him? You know, you respond differently, but she has true humility. Right? Basically, Jesus is saying, you're a dog. And she says, yes, master, I am. But would you still help me? Because I know that even the dogs eat from the master's table. So one thing is humility. She comes with great humility and she just agrees with God. Right? And the second thing, I think, which is kind of linked, is she doesn't take offense at what Jesus says. She's not getting offended. And what I mean by that is, She doesn't put God in a box of what she thinks or what she expects him to say in a certain way. Like for us, I think because we kind of have, you know, Bible studies and we go to church and we learn about God, so we kind of feel like we know God. That's why when we read this passage, we think, Jesus, you know, what the heck, you know? That's not right. That's rude, you know? Why would Jesus say something like that? And we kind of take offense at what Jesus is doing. We're like, oh, I can't believe you said that. But I think that's because we have put God in a box. And we think God should respond in such and such way. You know, we think, oh, if I bring my request to him, God is this and this and kind of a God. So he's going to respond in this and this way. And if you read your Bible, especially the Old Testament, I think it's kind of shocking. Like, you think God's going to respond in such a way, but he does a lot of things that's kind of outside our little safe box that we create for God. And our response should be one of a humility, like I said earlier. And number two, not getting offended. Not thinking, oh gosh, you know, we expect God to answer in such a way. Because, like, what if you were to go to God with a request and, you know, he gives you a totally different response from what you're thinking of? He actually says, you're a terrible sinner and you need to repent. Because, you know, we focus a lot on the grace of God, the love of God. But sometimes God will be straight up and say, you need to repent. What if you're like, what? No, you know, I've been good. I've been going to church, whatever. You know, I mean, in so many different ways this can play out. But I think the second thing is, yeah, number one is humility. You agree with God. And number two, we don't take offense. And when you go to God with a request and he gives us an answer, even if it's not something that we expected to hear, you just agree with God and you, like this woman, don't take offense and you kind of go along from there. And the last one is faith, right? Faith and persistence. She put her hope completely in the Lord. For her, it was like, if Jesus doesn't help me right now, my daughter's not going to get healed. So, Lord Jesus, I don't care that you called me a dog. I don't care that you said this is only for the house of Israel. I need you to come. And she doesn't give up, right, in asking and in persisting. And Jesus even commends her for her faith, right? Your faith is great. And that's what we need to do. I think certain things, like if it's healing for the sick, I don't think it's right for us to be like, Jesus, heal us. And then if it doesn't get healed, I'm not going to see a doctor. I'm not going to take medicine. Heal me. Because God has given us that avenue to receive healing. But there are other things in our lives where it's like, man, if Jesus doesn't heal me, or if Jesus doesn't act in this, you know, Jesus doesn't come through, then there is no hope. And in those things, instead of giving up, or instead of, I don't know, getting offended that God is not answering right away, you know, we persist and we have faith and we put our hope in the Lord. We kind of risk it all, basically, to say, Lord, you need to help me. And Jesus comes through. You know, I think we need to remember that. You know, Jesus does answer in the end, even though she has to go through some difficult answers before getting the one that she wants. So, amen. So let's pray. And Jesus is going to come and lead us in worship today.
together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. King of all days, King of all days, oh so highly exalted.
Let's pray together. Let's just pray for ourselves first. Let's pray for our church. That we would be able to respond to Jesus like this woman, with faith and humility and in real desperation, right, when she came before the Lord. And yeah, let's pray. I think for a lot of us, maybe because we contend for things, but if it doesn't come through, we kind of lose hope, or we kind of get offended that it's taken so long or whatever. Let's kind of pray that our church will just be restored in our hope and in our faith in God, and just really depending on Him, really desperately crying out to Him. And yeah, so let's just pray for our church first, pray for ourselves. Thank you. let's pray for the pastoral staff. Pray for Pastor Sam and Lisa, and also Elise and Emma, and also the baby in Lisa's tummy. She's pregnant. And also Pastor Sam, Kim, and Annie. And same thing, Annie's also pregnant, and Micah and Noel. And the kids are just starting school right after the summer, so you can pray for them that they have a good year. And also Pastor Salamat, our Indonesian ministry pastor, and his wife and the two kids, Samuel and Cardia. So you can lift them up. They're also starting school on Wednesday. And then myself, Kenny, and Monica, if you can lift us up. And Kenny, obviously, engaged to Janie. So if you can pray for Janie and the whole thing as they're waiting for the wedding day and stuff. So just pray for the pastoral staff. Let's cover us, cover them. And just let's pray for them together. Pray for the house church season that's starting next week. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray that they will be refreshed and rejuvenated and ready to go, that they would really hear from the Lord about this new season. So if you're in a house church, please pray for the one that for your own leaders. And if you're not in a house church, you can just pray for the whole ministry, house church ministry, and just pray for God's grace and His anointing upon this ministry. So let's pray together for house church. Pray for our retreat that is coming up in October, October 1, 2, and 3. Let's pray for our speaker, Dan Sneed. And let's pray that our whole church will be able to come. And all the logistics and all that stuff will get taken care of. And also the anointing of God will be upon Dan. And also that our body, you know, our church will be able to really connect with each other. So let's pray for the retreat. Lastly, let's pray for our building, you know, the whole SP move. There is one thing that we're really praying for right now as the building search committee, and it's kind of an opportunity that's out there for us. So if you can really pray for this thing, that God would give us favor, and continue to pray for Pastor Sam and the building search committee, that they hear from the Lord. Let's pray for the building search, and let's pray that God would give us favor for this one thing that we're kind of praying for. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, for you are a good God. Your word tells us that your goodness and your loving kindness is everlasting. Father, while we don't want to put you in a box, God, we also believe and hold on to your word that you are a good God and that you're for us and not against us. Father, and we just want to, whatever thing it is that we're contending for, we're praying for, we know that you will be faithful to your people. So we want to continue to pray with faith and to pray with hope and to just look to you, you know, to put our hope in you. Father, we thank you for this day. I just ask you to really be with every single person that is here, that your presence will go before them and go with them. And just today, may they have favor with all the people that they talk to, and just protect them physically and spiritually, emotionally. We give this day to you. Help us to worship you, glorify you throughout this day. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys.